Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW here in Las Vegas, Future Stars of Wrestling, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, man, there's a lot going on in the past 2 weeks.
You know, the hits keep on coming.
Well, I would say so, right? We can go back to starting off with the Valentine's Day Massacre that just happened. And the fact that Jordan Oasis walked out with the No Limits Championship.
I'll tell you what, man. Their first matchup at the HyperX, a little rough, to be honest with you. But sure. They killed it on this one. You know, there was a lot of great matches on the show, and that by far to me was the match of the night. You know, it was hard hitting. It had everything we were hoping the first one was going to be, and it just didn't hit on all cylinders, which happens. But they got an opportunity, you know, a couple of weeks later, and you know, they really ended the night on a huge note. And then after the fact, the return of Bret the Threat, and you could see the fans were stunned. You know, Bret the Threat massacred the hair of San Lu.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, where does that go now that, you know, Bret has kind of put himself out there?
Well, what Bret did was put himself in line for the Nevada State Championship on March 8th, because we're going to probably announce either today or tomorrow that San Lu has requested and will receive a match at No Escape, and it's going to be a gauntlet match. And, you know, Bret the Threat's going to pick the order, but he's aligned himself with a couple of guys that we've seen in FSW a lot of times on Future Shock. Young talent, Gabe Rocha from Phoenix, Arizona, who's very solid. Colin Muldoon, one of our students. And they have, you know, similar backgrounds, very shooty MMA style. You know, might per se call them the Fight Club. And San Lu doesn't just want Bret the Threat. He wants all three. And he's confident enough that the Nevada State title will be on the line. And whichever guy pins San Lu, they will become Nevada State champion.
And it's in a gauntlet format. So...
so, you know, Bret the Threat's going to pick, you know, if I'm Bret the Threat, I'm probably not going to go first.
Right.
You know, he's the obvious leader of this group. So he's going to manipulate it. You know, there's a lot of things that could happen in gauntlet matches. It's like, you know, you could DQ yourself to set it up for your next guy. So there's a lot of, it's very intriguing, and it's, you know, it's hard for me to believe, but, you know, maybe Bret the Threat suckered San Lu into this one.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Any chance Bret might have to put his hair on the line for a little real edge?
There ain't a lot of it there, but, you know, at this point, no. Bret's holding all the cards. He gets the match, and he gets to position the guys however he wants. And San Lu has to beat three people to retain the Nevada State Championship and No Escape.
You know, San Lu used to have in his corner a Shogun. Now, how do things change when, you know, you basically look at this as the odds totally stacked against him? That's a little different position for him.
Well, yeah, that's what happens when you're kind of riding solo. You know, those guys are still friends, but they're doing their own thing. And, you know, Shogun wasn't even at the show. So it wasn't as if Shogun watched what happened and didn't choose to help. He wasn't booked on the show and he wasn't there.
Yep. Overall, how did you think the rest of the night played out on the Valentine's Day Massacre?
Well, you know, we expected a pretty good crowd. And again, we packed the house. And the fans were amazing from the minute the first match started. You know, AJ Avin comes out and the people are kind of cheering. But then Bodhi comes out and they're going nuts. And then the right. Mariachis come out and they're going nuts. And the First Responder is very impressive once again. Dave Mazzani, you know, he had his fire, you know, his firehouse crew with them there. But they were over can be. And it was, you know, truly amazing. And it was a rare night at the arena that most of the baby faces, Jaden Cole, you know, they were all victorious.
Right. Yeah.
So it was a great day for the fan favorites, and you know, and the crowd responded tremendously. That has to be one of the best crowds I've seen at the FSW arena, not only size wise, but just their reactions. And they were, you know, I know Bodhi is very well liked, but it's like it's almost like he's now at another level. To yeah. where the fans were really, really behind him. And we've seen it with the Mariachis, and even though it kind of surprises me because they didn't sell the 50 tickets like they did the very first show they ever did, but whatever it is about them, their charisma is just infectious, and the crowd just loves them. So, you know, seeing them in the steel cage against the Suavecitos, man, if they can walk away the champs, that's going to be – a huge moment for them.
Yeah. Is there literally going to be radioactive material in the cage?
There could be. You know, we're always working on new designs.
The first wrestling company to do a radioactive material on a pole match. Yeah, I mean, No Escape is coming up on March 8th at the Silverton Casino. And, of course, G-Sharp and Duke Lawrence for the title. So is it is the cage going to survive Duke?
Well, good thing it's the main event, because if he breaks it, at least there's not another match. To go on after it. But more importantly, it's like we talk about how great the show was this past Friday, but yeah. There was no Duke Lawrence. There was no Gregory Sharp. There was no Bateman. There was no Shogun. There was, you know, no Jay Vidal. Yeah. There was no Damian Drake. You know, and again, it goes to point out about how deep the roster is.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of our best talent wasn't on the show, and it was still, you know, an A-plus show. And that just goes, you know, to what a roster that we have built.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and what's coming up with No Escape, including this match, the Faction versus Pretty City Express. I mean, are we finally going to see what's lining up here in terms of, will the Faction be able to survive that? And how is that match going to work?
Well, it will not be in the cage. So it's going to be a traditional 5-on-5 match with tags. Obviously, Ice Williams, at least, has warmed up to Demir Morningstar, but yep. It was kind of interesting that Braxton was the only one not on hand.
Right.
Now, was that pre-planned? I don't know. So, you know, are they all on the same page? But Demir, you know, was very helpful being out there. didn't yep. cause the loss like he did the last time, inadvertently, not really his fault.
Right.
But it maybe they are warming up to Demir Morningstar, and this could be his breakout moment. You know, this is the first time he's going to get an opportunity to be in a big time match at a casino show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of work that's gone in over the past year or so, and getting that opportunity is definitely a huge thing for him.
Yeah,
so.
And it's also the first time that Young Money and Damon Ace are really being in a spotlighted match at a casino show.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Definitely interesting. You know, even though Young Money was involved, you know, at the HyperX, but this is, you know, this is a big time match.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of big time, Zumaya getting an opportunity at the FSW Women's Championship. Brittany, you know, had a showing against SOS this past Friday, but, you know, I mean, Zumaya, and I'm sure MK will be in her corner, could be kind of threatening for Brittany.
Well, no doubt about it. Zumaya has held championships, you know, all over the West Coast. You know, we saw her when she first started, and she has really come a long way. And, you know, she's earned her position as the number one contender. It's funny, you know, Brittany wrestled SOS, who in the past has not been very beloved by the fans. But because of Brittany's attitude change, SOS was the fan favorite in that match. And they were looking,
right,
you know, for SOS to take out Brittany Brooks. And I'll tell you what, Brittany had a great game plan. And she really surprised me because she utilized her speed and her agility and was able to take SOS off her feet and was able to put her away. It's going to be interesting who the fans are going to cheer for because, man, you might like Zumaya, but you're going to hate MK. You don't like Brittany. It's definitely an interesting match where you got two non-fan favorites in that match. It's going to be interesting to see where the fan base aligns, but this is definitely a marquee women's match right there.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it should be interesting to see. I think, you know, anytime you have MK in your corner, I think you become the heel and the other one becomes babyface naturally with the crowd.
You know, and then we'll talk about, you know, MK's other client, Bryce Saturn. I guess you could call it an upset against Jaden Cole, who's really, you know, been on a tear and earned himself a spot in the four-way elimination No Limits Championship match that we're going to have. And the former partners who kind of came back together, makeshift chemistry, because they had been really apart, and we haven't really seen them interact. They were in a couple of scramble matches, and, you know, it was every man for themselves. And, you know, Fox has maybe gone out of his way a little bit to show that he's his own man when it came to AJ Avon. And in reality, if it wasn't for AJ, I'm not sure if Fox Valentine would have been victorious.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You know, another interesting, let's see, point taken here. Zumaya has MK clearly the heel. You know, when you think about Jordan, now he lost the title, won the title back. Now, what if he loses it again? I mean, is Jordan playing a dangerous game here too of, you know, not being able to hold the title after, you know, taking him so long to get a title?
Well, you know, we just talked about how the roster and how deep it is. And, you know, I'm trying to put together matches. I'm pretty sure, that Oasis wouldn't have picked a four-way elimination match to be his first title defense after winning the championship back. But I'll tell you what, we saw a different side of Jordan Oasis and how he reacted after losing the championship. And he came out in similar to when not being part of the ID program any longer. And same thing with Ice Williams. How you react to failure is more important to how you react to success. Because it's easy when you're on top of the mountain to, you know, do things. But now when you've lost and now people are questioning, hey, you know, if you lose again to Son Lu, where do you go? You know, you see what happens when people lose championships. They got to start over again. You know, we have, you know, we're way different than WWE where, you know, we don't run 9 million shows. So we're okay with champions not automatically getting 5 rematches. Like in WWE, that's the one thing that really irritates me is I watch a pay-per-view, the contender loses clean as a whistle, but somehow was able to get another title shot the next month without doing anything to earn it. And, you know, back in the day, if you wanted a challenge for the Intercontinental Championship, you had to get on a roll and win some matches. Now you have to beat the champion in a non-title match, and then you're going to get a title match. Well, I already beat the champ. And it's just a weird way, and it's a weird dynamic of doing it. And you want to talk about a roster that's deep as deep can be. WWE has that. So why do I need to see, and I'm glad for Drew McIntyre and everything, but how many matches did he have to lose to the champion to keep getting title matches? Right. Like, isn't there 10 other guys that have been successful that you can give a title match to? Man, that roster is fucking deep as deep can be. Yet we had to see 3 pay-per-views in a row where these guys are getting rematches and rematches. And it's like, you know, back in the old days, it was the Hogan formula. You know, you'd build up Earthquake, you build up Bad News Brown, you build up all these guys that would come in and they would smash people. And then they would have a match and then would go to either a count out or double DQ. And being from New York, Madison Square Garden, where they would run monthly, you know, it might take 2 or 3 times. But it was like, if Hogan beats you and pins you, you're done. Now it's on to the next guy.
Right.
Now it's you lose and it's like, okay, I'm going to say some hurtful words to him and somehow get another title shot.
Yeah, but doesn't that have to do with the reflection of the fact that, you know, those were feeder guys to Hogan, essentially? You know, they were, none of those guys were top guys.
Yeah, they were feeder guys, but it would still take them a while. And once Hogan beat them, here, Cody Rhodes did beat them, but now they're wrestling them again. And how many times do we see it to where they lose 3 times and they never win? Like Cody Rhodes for 2 years held the belt. So he'd beat you, then he'd beat you again, and then they'd have a 3rd pay-per-view with Kevin Owens or whatever, and he'd beat you again. To me, that's way more damaging for the person wrestling. If you just lost to Cody Rhodes 2 or 3 times in a row, like where do you go? And in WWE, a lot of times it's onto the back burner and you disappear for 6 months. So right. I don't like that way. I want somebody to earn that title shot and make that match happen. It was like, you know, when Cody came back and he wrestled Seth Rollins and then he tore his tricep or whatever, and he wrestled Seth Rollins again, was going to be out for 6 months, and they still haven't beat Seth Rollins. Like, that would seemingly make no sense to me because they didn't want him to lose, but they knew he was going to be gone for 6 or 8 or 9 months or whatever it was. Wouldn't you want Seth Rollins to win? That way Cody Rhodes had something to come back to. And now the third match you can have because it's 1-1 instead of 2-0. And it's like, oh, can he beat him? You know, whatever. And again, you know, they know the numbers better than me, but the problem now when they're talking about WrestleMania and the numbers aren't as high, maybe because these matchups aren't as intriguing or exciting anymore. Like, oh, okay, so now Drew McIntyre, they're talking maybe he's having a triple threat match with Cody Rhodes again and Jacob right. Fatu. You know, maybe Jacob Fatu being built up versus Drew McIntyre alone is the match that'll have the juice. But, hey, we got to put Cody Rhodes in a main event match. Well, why can't we build something up with Cody Rhodes versus somebody else? I don't know.
True. I mean, does it's hard to say. And again, is that, I mean, you didn't even, you know, do you scratch the surface in that, you know, when you have that many top guys, you know, what happens, let's say, with Finn Balor? Where are they moving with that when they're having him obviously going to lose to Punk here coming up? Does this end up being Dom and Finn in the Judgment Day falling apart at WrestleMania, you know?
Well, yeah, because it's like, oh, yeah, and by the way, Finn Balor. And it's like, but all the eggs in CM Punk's baskets against Roman Reigns. So who in their right mind would want to see Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns for the championship? Well, nobody. Right. So maybe CM Punk doesn't wrestle somebody for the title in a match that nobody gives a shit about.
Right.
Oh, so Dominic's going to cost him, or, you know, what's Damian Priest doing with Drew McIntyre? It's like there's so many things going on, but it's like, you know, we're setting up a feud and it's going to be this guy versus that guy. But, oh, yeah, we still have to have him beat him on the pay-per-view in 2 weeks. Make sure you watch it. Now, it's a little bit different because buying a pay-per-view is different than spending $4.99 on Peacock and just watching it.
Right.
Now, it's like, how do you get these people? Because there's all these issues with the ESPN deal and trying to get people to buy things or spend more money to watch the product and raising the prices and all the other stuff. Well, you better have some interesting storylines, or having Steve Austin do something at Mania, or The Rock, who they say is not doing anything. Like, nobody cares about next year WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia. They're getting paid all their money. They're not worried about the gate. They're not worried about nothing. But they have to worry about everything here in Vegas. And it's like, you know, I get it. Oh, they've only sold 80,000 tickets. It's like, dude, the show's in 2 months. Calm the fuck down. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm pretty sure if they only sell 109,000 tickets instead of 127,000, they'll still do okay because they've raised the price 40%. So the gate will be 50% better than it was last year. You know?
Right.
But it's like, you don't want to turn off. And it's seeming like they're seeming to start being a backlash on WWE. You know, there was a while where it was like, man, the storylines clicked, and now it just seems very stagnant and dull.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it very well could be that. You know, at the same time, I mean, if you look at all the companies right now, all the storylines are fairly stagnant and dull. And I think a lot of that has to do with so much TV having to be produced every single goddamn week.
Well, you know, like I'm cool with CM Punk versus Reigns, but the difference is these guys are now 25 years into their career, and you're not going to get these fantastic matches.
Right.
You know, so you better tell a great story.
Right.
Which I think is definitely doable with the CM Punk Reigns thing. I don't know where you really can go with you know, Drew and Cody Rhodes. And yeah, I thought that was awesome that Drew cost Cody Rhodes the Rumble to make him not a guy to go after him. But then he gets into the Elimination Chamber anyway. And then if he wins the Elimination Chamber and he's in the match anyway, well, then that storyline didn't tell the story, you know? Right. And it's like, but either way, we're going to get Drew versus Cody Rhodes literally for the fourth time in 6 months instead of four times in 4 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to put the belt back on Cody, or you give it to Jacob Fatu? Because that would probably be the next thing, which should be Jacob versus Cody. Okay, I can live with that. But I can also live with rather having to see Cody and Jacob Fatu feud over it. If you feel Jacob Fatu's the guy, which is crazy to me that in such a short period of time, they've become so high on him that even being gone for those 4 or 5 months, that he came right back and he's in the best position of all the Bloodline people.
Right. Right. So when you feed that in, you know, how it is for them to kind of work with all the talent they have and positioning guys, and you're just, you know, you're putting it out there. You know, how do you look at it as a booker in your sense of, you know, dealing with that type of thing too, where you have guys who've, you know, been around for 5 to 15 years. And how do you keep those guys from getting stale and getting around into, you know, certain pictures for title mixes and stuff? You know, you see the game that they have to play with this massive scale on the smaller scale, but having such a packed roster. I mean, how hard is it for you to really sit there and kind of move the chess pieces without kind of going, oh shit, that was a bad move?
Well, one thing you got to understand, it is a similar situation because we have 40 guys for predominantly 24 to 26 spots on a show, okay? And you never wish any injury or somebody to get hurt, but in retrospect, it's kind of a relief in a way. Like with WWE, well, Kevin Owens is out, so that's one less main guy that we have. And, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Seth Rollins is out. Or, you know, it's unfortunate Bron Breakker because he was on pace to being the fresh face. And that's the one thing they need is the Jacob Fatu, the Bron Breakers, guys that can go escalate to the main thing. It's no different with FSW, where Matt Vandegrift, who was Nevada State champ, was a main guy, you know, possibly could be a heavyweight champion of FSW. He got hurt, the Unguided, you know, in line for tag team titles. Now, the person it hurts the most is Damian Drake, because we finally got the Unguided back. So he stepped away from what he's doing. So now he's frustrated because, of course, he wants to be, and he got to be on the scramble at HyperX, but he's not on the No Escape card because now it's reshuffling, and where are we going to put him? Because there's only X amount of spots. And we're in the same scenario of, oh, Kenny's moving away. okay, you know, we highlighted him at the HyperX. Well, now on the next HyperX show, there was a lot of people who didn't get to be on that show that were really good. And hey, Bryce Saturn lost, so he's not going to be at the No Escape event. And Shogun, you know, we're figuring out, you know, we have one match left that we're, you know, trying to figure out if we're doing the Escape the Cage. And if we do, it's probably going to be a six-man battle. And I know for a fact Bodie will be in that match or somehow involved in something. But it's trying to move those chess pieces around because, you know, you have your top 10, top 15. So coming out of Valentine's Day Massacre, coming out of, more importantly, the HyperX, Gregory Sharp has really been looking at two people, Duke and Bateman, who's got the case.
Right.
And we've kind of intertwined both of them in that mix. Okay.
Right.
So, but Duke's earned that number one, you know, contender position. He's getting the match. Okay. I'm pretty sure Bateman's going to be on hand, but right now we got six matches, maybe seven already in the bag out of eight. So it's possible they're going to be on hand, but I don't know what's going on yet. Jay Vidal, same thing. And then when you look at it, it's positioning and yeah, you know, Luke Curtis and Bodie, they've had two matches, one and one. Well, are they going to wrestle at No Escape? Are they going to wrestle again at HyperX? A little easier when we have two casino shows in a 3-week period.
Right.
If you don't make one big show, you could make the other big show.
Right.
But that's going to be a rare occurrence. There's going to be one big show, you know, starting in May at the HyperX every single month.
Yeah.
So who is not going to be on that show? I don't know yet. But number one, unless he's booked somewhere else or whatever, the heavyweight champion is going to be on that show. It's our main show. So that's a match.
Right.
You know, Brittany had a prior commitment, so she didn't make the HyperX show. So we ended up doing a four-way match for a number of contenders, so it got four women on the show. Well, now at this show, there's only going to be one women's match because there's only so many matches. We're going to have a tag title match. Good chance March 29th at the HyperX, that's going to be a match. There's a good chance the Nevada State. You want the titles to be defended. There's a reason why you're the champion. That means you're in the higher upper echelon. So now you got don't really have 24 spots because eight of them are already taken.
Right.
So now you got instead of 40 for 24, which leaves 16, now you got 30 for 22, and it only leaves eight spots for everybody else. And who's going to get to the spot? And we got a lot of tag teams, but we're doing mariachis and suavecitos. That's the only regular tag match. We got a 5-on-5 at the HyperX. You know, we did a scramble, and then we also did something at the in the pre-show where guys who've been on the main show, AJ and Fox, they're in a no limits regular match for the title. At No Escape, and Remy Marcel, who's been, you know, a champion of every single belt in FSW history, was in a pre-show match, but he won't even be on the No Escape show. So it's like people want to take it personally sometimes. They, you know, they want to feel that they're not valued, and it's like there's so much mixing and matching going on. You know, that's why instead of picking somebody for Jordan Oasis and leaving two other people off the show.
Right.
I said, and I'll be honest with you, at Valentine's Day Massacre, the day before is when I came up with the idea to have some qualifying matches. It's like we already have Bryce Saturn versus Jaden Cole. This is a great match. The winner should get something for it.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, then why not have, you know, Bodie in a match, and he's a former No Limits champion. We got AJ, former tag team champion. You know, that match was already made as a triple threat. Hey, we could make that one. And then I did the Fox one. So I was like, hey, you never do a three-way elimination. And like, I literally the day of came up with, hey, we could do a four-way elimination match. That way we're always trying to do different matches. So that's not a cage right. match. Hey, after what happened, let's make Hero have a gauntlet match. There right. would have been no way in hell that Gabe Broca or Colin Muldoon would have been on the no escape card.
Right. Yep.
But now these guys have opportunities to go out there and hopefully hit a home run.
Yeah. And it looks like Chief is a little confused here. He's wondering when LA Knight moves up and gets his shot at the FSW championship, apparently.
Anytime he wants, kind of like Hammerstone, like, hey, when am I going to get the chance to wrestle Sharp? I'm like, dude, you just say the word. And then he won the Rumble and got the match. But we put it together because, you know, guys are doing a lot of things. Guys like Hammerstone, guys like Danny Limelight, guys that you want to incorporate. TJP, he just started training back. He's going to be our Wednesday trainer moving forward. And of course I want TJP on our shows. You know what I mean? That, you know, leading into, you know, Mania week, we just reached the agreement with Cross. And Kevin is not a talent. Kevin is the promoter along with me. We are promoting this as a joint venture. So he's agreed on the Friday night at 10 p.m., Mecca 11. And then on Saturday night after Mania ends at 8 o'clock-ish, we're going to do a 10 p.m. start time and bring back Natural Born Killers. And we're hoping to have a similar card to we did the first one we ever did, which was the best card for any of those events, bar none.
Yeah.
You know, between Dan Severin and Frank Mir and late Stefan Bonner and Austin Aries and Simon Gotch and Mizani and Ryan Couture. And we had Gina Mizani on the show and Kyra Batara, who was a Bellator. And later on, we had Ryan Walker and Gil Guardado, who are main trainers at the Couture gym. And Gil is, you know, John Moxley's personal trainer. Right. So, you know, I can already confirm we got Bad Dude Tito. We got Simon Gotch signed on for Natural Born Killers because we love Gotch. And now we're, you know, we're making moves. It's like I have Kevin on the horn, you know, don't know who's going to be on it yet. But I'm going to throw it out. You know, he's hitting up Shayna Baszler. You know, we're hitting up Matt Riddle. We're hitting up Jonathan Gresham. We're hitting up Baron Corbin. You know, I'm trying to get him to reach out to Cain Velasquez. You know, we want, you know, we get, you know, it's probably a 1% chance that he might be interested. But, you know, Cain knows Cross very well. Cain came to FSW to train personally with Disco Inferno and Cross when he was getting ready to do his first matches in AAA. And Kevin ended up wrestling in a steel cage with Kane because that's who he was comfortable with when they were doing stuff. And Conan sent him, and you know, so if there's a relationship, fantastic. You know, if you get Gresham, hey, can we get Jordan Grace? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, there's so many people that are going to be in town. Matt Riddle's going to be at our arena Wednesday for the CCW show. So I know he's going to be here. So now the question becomes, who can we get?
Right. And with that door being opened a little bit with that possibility of, like you said, like a Jordan Grace or I mean, I wouldn't imagine that a Zoe Stark couldn't be involved on something like that if she's cleared.
Well, that becomes the big question with WWE on who and what they're going to clear. In those manners, but it's like, you know, sky's the limit. You know, I'm searching through WrestleCon. Hey, who's going to be there? Right. Like, hey, you know, is I hit up King Mo. You know, King Mo wrestled with us for a little bit in training and did some stuff because he was friends with Kenny. I haven't talked to him in 4 years, 5 years maybe. But he messaged me a couple weeks ago. His daughter lives in Vegas and might be interested in training. So he reached out to me and I said, hey, by the way, bro, I messaged him yesterday. He said it might be a possibility. So it's like I'm reaching out to everybody I know, because the one thing that, you know, lacked about that, you know, Shotzi again is always very, very, very close with Cross and Scarlett especially. Yep. So, you know, again, even for like a Mecca, like, well, our women's champion wrestling a Shotzi, that's a main event match.
Sure.
So nobody's off the table, because cost wise, you know, I reached out to our guy Rhino, you know, for a Mecca, you know, and he sent me some stuff. It was kind of funny. And it was like, yeah, you know, if you want to do light tubes and blood, you know, he's all good with that. I'm like, yeah, we're okay. We're not going to be bleeding at the, you know, they don't want any craziness like that yet at the HyperX Arena. So we're not going to be doing death matches, Rhino. I appreciate you letting me know that it's an option for you. Because, you know, you forget, because he's so far removed from the ECW days. At first, I was like, the fuck's he talking about light tubes and shit? You know what I mean? It was like, I didn't recall him doing that recently, but man, you know, enjoy your elder statesman status in professional wrestling, because he's still beloved. You know, the few times we saw him, he was great at the Chris Bay show when he helped us out and Toa got hurt and wrestled bad dude Tito at the Mecca at the Silver Nugget when Cross wrestled Jacob Fatu. Fucking people went nuts for Rhino.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a legend right there.
Yeah. That was, you know, that's again in the works now with Mecca and also with the Natural Born Killers. Of course, you know, this is going to be the full tilt for Mania Week starting on Wednesday the 15th. A bunch of other shows, of course, are running that, you know, you are facilitating. I've enjoyed seeing the last couple days you boiling over with the aggravation of people thinking that you're booking these shows that other companies are doing, and that you should be the one putting out the names to these different promotions. Can you just explain once and for all how it works so that people will stop doing this nonsense?
Well it's funny. It's like, I get it. And I was actually having this conversation with Brittany Brooks yesterday, because she helps run the Instagram a little bit. And she's like, oh, I love these responses. And it's like, you know, you got to respect their hustle. I'm like, what hustle? These are people that I have never spoken to in my entire life. And just putting themselves out there for Mania, who cares? Who are you? It's literally 1,000 people are saying, hey, I'm available. Hey, you're running these shows. Like, why would I book you? Like, who are you? Like, I don't understand it. And it's like, and she's like, well, you know, you got to respect their hustle. They're trying to get booked. And it's like, yeah, but they're not doing anything to get booked. They're sending out a mass message to anybody that they can that says, I'm available. Like half the time, they don't know your name. They don't even know the company. So, you know, the email is just a copy and paste. You're making no effort whatsoever. And then it's like, you know, there's a guy and he's hit me up and I try to be nice. So now I post, hey, we got two shows. So now he sees that we have two shows and now he's asking about it. And it's like, bro, there's no spots, bro. It's like, one's an MMA type show. Oh, like Bloodsport. I'm like, yeah, similar. Oh yeah, that's cool. But right. And it's like, the other one is a super show. I don't know you. Like again, like how many times can I reiterate it to you guys that I'm not booking you guys? 3/4 of my talent, who I love, isn't getting on a lot of these shows. Why would I take a spot away from my heavyweight champion G Sharp because you sent me a match clip of a highlight reel that, by the way, half of them aren't even that good. Like, man, you couldn't even like find five good moves that you could put together in a 45 second video. It's like, wow, that was a pretty shitty headlock takeover.
Yeah. And Ben has a great point here that most of the companies running Mania Week already have their cards locked in. You know, it's a little late to be, you know, trying to get on those cards, especially trying to get on the cards through someone who's not booking the cards.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, I love Limelight, but it's the same thing. It's like, bro, just look it up. I'm not going to go through everybody. You know, I appreciate it. And Limelight's my guy, and I know he's wrestling the Colorado wrestling, but at least he has a track record of, hey, I'm available for stuff. Like, obviously, he's going to be in town. He's working my Mecca show, a Bad Dude Tito. You know, you want to use some of these guys twice, get a little better deal out of it by using them and for both shows on that Friday and the Saturday. But it's like, this is our upper echelon cards. It's like, there are plenty of FSW guys that we've seen, and they've been on a Jordan Oasis, a Robbie Lid, an Andrew Delgado, a Bret the Threat. Yeah, they're all capable of being on Natural Born Killers. But hey, if Jacob Austin Young's going to be in town because he's not in Japan, he's got a spot. Gotch has got a spot. Tito's got a spot. Cross has got a spot. And now we need to mix in a Dave Mazzani has a spot. Now, do I need one of those MMA guys? If King Mo says yes, he's got a spot. So now all of a sudden, wanting to use those five guys that I just mentioned, now I might only be able to use two of them. So now I got to decide, well, you know, Andrew Delgado and Fox was excellent on there. And Andrew's that hard-hitting guy. I'd love to have him on the show. But it isn't anything personal, and it isn't anything other than what is available to utilize, because those guys love that type of show. The thing is, in Vegas, running that without having the Cross or Tom Lawler, who's hurt, and he'll do the commentary, obviously.
Right.
It's hard to really draw those specified shows, just like we saw with the all-women shows, that it's a niche audience. You can only run niche shows when you have 100,000 wrestling fans or MMA fans in Vegas, like a Mania weekend. So it's perfect to run a Natural Born Killers run by Cross, but we can't do it in 2 weeks at the FSW arena and expect a couple hundred people in there unless we go nuts and we bring in like the biggest names in professional wrestling, and then it becomes a casino show.
Right.
So it's like, love to have yous. But again, maybe Bret the Threat doesn't make the show because Jacob Austin Young's on. But if Jacob Austin Young's not going to be on it, well, maybe that spot now is for Bret the Threat because he's a highlighted wrestler in FSW. He's back here. We plan on using him. So, of course, he's the guy I'm going to want to get on. A G Sharp, you know, he's made inklings about doing that. TJP, if he's available, he's got a spot. There's not a maybe in if TJP. And, hey, you know, I enjoy TJP versus Eli Everfly. You know, shows the other side of him that I'm always been very fond of with Eli is that shooty style that he does besides doing all the crazy shit. So it's like, but we're not going to do, you know, even though I'd love to do a tag team Natural Born Killers type match when you tag in, which would be very innovative, believe me. But if you do eight matches, the most you have is 16 people on a show.
You know, with you, Joe, it wouldn't be the tag. It'd be like a 20-man scramble MMA-style blood sport.
Hey, that would work.
Which, I mean, in all honesty, if you could get your mind together with a couple of the guys who are, you know, who think outside of the box and figure out a way of doing like a fatal four-way MMA style match, that might be one of the first, you know, times something like that has ever been done, because I mean, that's a hard thing to put together, you know. And again, that's another thing, is what are the challenges? Like, is something innovative, you know, in a match style like this, is that something that would draw, you know, some eyes? You know, obviously the product itself will sell the tickets, but in terms of, you know, getting stuff out there on social media after the show has taken place, you know, and getting people talking, that's the other thing, is, you know, how do you keep the buzz going, you know, with riding off of the shows that are going to happen Mania weekend. So it's, you know, a lot of interesting stuff that can be done.
It can be, but, you know, you also don't want to, you know, do a show that bastardizes or embarrasses the art form that we're trying to present. Don't right. want it to be perceived right. as a farce. Right. You know, back in sure. the day, the UFC would have David versus Goliath. You know what I mean? And you'd have yep. all of a sudden this 400-pound guy fighting Royce Gracie. Well, Royce Gracie right. at 170 would still kick his ass. So right. that's a bad example. But it would be that it was the freak yeah. show type yeah. type of thing. So right. it's not going to be like, and again, I can't even say Shayna Baszler, because if I had Shayna Baszler wrestle, say, Bret the Threat, there's a good chance Shayna Baszler could kick his ass. Kick it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
yeah.
But you don't want something where it's like Killer yeah. Cross versus Shotzi.
Right.
And then try to sell it as a legitimate sport. You know right. what I mean?
Right.
You know, I joke about the tag team thing, but I'm dead serious. Like, why couldn't you have a team? And it's yeah. almost like it's a team sport. It's kind of like when they did team tennis, and they try right. to expand how they did those things. And they even did it. I'm not sure if it was Bellator or somebody else that they did like a team format. When it came to sure. the MMA, they did a team format, but they didn't do it. But why can't somebody, like, it's an amateur wrestling match or whatever, and all of a sudden tags out?
Right. And could you, you know, speaking of teams, could you even do something where, you know, you have an association, you know, Team Cross and Team So-and-so.
And Team Filthy, sure.
Yeah, so that every match, you know, either team gets a point for the card that night.
Which, right, and it sets up the main event. Or,
right.
Yeah, you know, yeah. but again, that's something that takes a lot of conversation, a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it took 10 days to get Cross to finally, you know, he was out of the country, he's trying to shoot a movie, he's doing his Comic-Cons. He's doing right. his wrestling matches. So, you know, I caught him the other day. You know, I've been texting him the last couple of days. And he was like, oh, did you get him? And because I'm like, hey, Gresham. Like, I know he's always mentioned his boy, Eddie Edwards. So every time I go in and I hit him up, and I'm just trying to think of names. Right. Of, like, yeah. you know, who he likes, you know, who he thinks could be, because, you know, he was telling me a story about something, and it was like about Josh Alexander, and I'm like, oh shit, yeah, Josh Alexander would be great, but now because of the AEW contracts and how they're worked,
yeah,
they and work. You know, right. Kevin also talked about how he would have loved to do something with Mike Bailey, who's been involved with the Bloodsport type stuff,
right?
So I'm like, oh yeah, Josh Alexander would be good, really good. And then I messaged him, and he was like, Gresham, Eddie Edwards, Eddie Kingston, he brought up, and Dolph Ziggler, because we were talking about Dolph maybe for the Mecca thing.
Right.
And even, I guess he's done, you know, the blood sport type thing. So it's just, right. hey, let's get some names. Hey, King Mo, Riddle, you know, just trying to have him reach out. Like, he got me Delight's number. I mean, right. We joked about that, and he said, "Yeah, we can have
Mike delayed in here."
Yeah, Mike delay. He actually jokingly, we were talking about Riddle. Who we put him against? We'd have to have him over if he does it. Mike Delight, LMAO. You know what I mean? But it's just like trying to, you know, get all these people because you forget. And I'm like, hey, Tito, Royce, Jacob Austin Young, Thatcher, TJP, yeah. Ryan Walker, you know, the Gill guy. So he's just throwing out names. Obviously, the names I've given him is more than 16. You know what I mean? So right. It isn't like, we'd get everybody on the show. It's like mixing and matching. What are matches that they're there? You know, this is a cross event. So WWE fans are going to be the ones who are going to be most interested in it. So for me, right. Eddie Kingston isn't as valuable, even though it might be a cooler match, than say Dolph Ziggler, because Dolph Ziggler's got 20 years of being in WWE. Right. Oh shit, Dolph Ziggler's on the show. A lot of WWE fans are like, I don't know who Eddie Kingston or Homicide are. You know what right. I mean? Now, right. not that we wouldn't rely on, because there's also that secondary market, as I like to call them, which is the collective GCW sure. market. And they're going to sell right. their 1,000 tickets to Bloodsport. But they're right. selling that based on the GCW fan base, not from right. the WWE fans who are coming to town. And that's the difference between Cross and Josh Barnett. Right. Now, they're tried and true. They've been doing it every Mania. You know, nobody does it as well as them. But we have our own little thing that we do, and we're not copying anybody. This is something that me and him put together in 2019 that right. was hugely successful. And I'm the one who kind of utilized more of the idea. I reached out to Dan Severn. Hey, Kev, I think this would be fucking brilliant. And Dan right. was a pleasure to work with. You know, he didn't have to get on the mic and put over. You know, he was getting paid what he was getting paid. He chose to do the business that he did. And Dan right. Severn is a legend to do that. You know, yeah. Frank Mir at the time was doing some stuff with Austin Aries. And he went right. in there. And believe me, I'm pretty sure Frank Mir made a little bit more money fighting Brock Lesnar than he did Natural Born Killers at the FSW Arena. So it was people who wanted to do these things. And you know, right. and Dave Mazzani knows people. Like I said, he's the one who got us Ryan Couture. You know, shit, right. love to have Randy yeah. Couture there. You know, MK, he was like, hey, you know, I guess Mark Kerr's done some stuff at PCW. Like to get Mark Kerr to even just show up. You know, Mark Coleman's in Vegas. You know how many MMA legends are in Vegas? That maybe, right. hey, we help promote their school. We promote Wanderlei Silva, whatever it is. It's not about the one payday. It's about doing something cool, Mania Week.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah. So now I got March 8th show, March 29th show, and now I'm also trying to put together everything for 2 months from now, as well as, you know, the Rumble match March 21st that we're doing in San Diego and the April 10th couple of matches we're doing at the Lee's Family Forum. So right. it's just like, you know, man, last night again, it was like, oh, I'm exhausted. You know, for some reason, the day before I woke up at 5 a.m, like, fuck, you know, kind of napped again a little bit, but was up by 8. And it was like, I was exhausted by like, you know, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Well,
I had to get up and I got shit to do.
Right. You know, you got a few more years left in you doing this. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's going to be like, you know, again, wrestling ebbs and flows. So, you know, hopefully, you know, you take advantage of these days in which you're exhausted, because, you know, you never know 3 years from now if it's back down to, hey, look, there's 100 people in the crowd, you know, so take advantage and have fun with it while you can.
You know, it's just, like I said, 17 years later, I'm doing 10 times as much of stuff that I've ever done before. And it's like, wow, I am just constantly busy, phone calls. You know, I like to stop at the casino a lot and, you know, play my hot roll and things like, and dancing drums. And it's like, man, I just been so busy that it's like, I've been handling so much other stuff. It's just like, boom, 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 boom. You know, we had TJ there yesterday and, you know, we had to switch out because, you know, Kenny's no longer in Vegas and putting together the TV class for next week. And TJ's trying to see about doing something like a women's only class and trying to expand stuff. And the popularity of wrestling continues because we're seemingly getting a good amount of new students that are coming in. So it's just, you know, busy, busy, busy. But there's also the drama and the day-to-day bullshit of Joe having to be the fucking principal of, you know, the FSW high school, where you're dealing with not only the adult class high school kids, but the actual high school and kids class kids. Right. So it's like, and now it's like, you know, working on trying to do numerous things at the HyperX, like Friday, tomorrow, we're going to be co-promoting their WWE 2K tournament. It's free for everybody. Yep. So you get to, you know, you get to play WWE 2K with, you know, FSW champions who are going to be on hand. But we're also working on getting the FSW wrestlers and the FSW ring inside the HyperX arena to maybe play some FSW games and working on prizes and maybe possibly, you know, giving away some tickets and stuff. And they have a HyperX belt that they're making, you know, and it's like now we're working with them on trying to do numerous different events, yeah, after parties, podcasts, trying to do some stuff with Chris Bay in that manner. And it's just like, you know, the docket is busy, busy, busy. And moving forward, instead of doing the casino shows because of the cost, we would do them every 3 months or so. So we would do four or five. Well, now the idea is to do 12. And we're trying to figure out an event package deal. That way the fans, and we don't have to do the intermission to get everybody to run in and out and spend 20 minutes of people having to run to their cars to move. It's to save from parking, you know, that maybe there's an event pass. Maybe it's $10 or whatever. But just working on all these multiple different ideas that hopefully, you know, some good ones come out of it. And, you know, we really joint venture with HyperX for, you know, a whole, you know, entertainment based with wrestling and other, yeah, things of likes that we can do that brings people there.
There you, okay, go.
So there we go.
Yep. You know, of course, a lot going on. I think we scratched the surface here. Of course, the ID showcase is going down. And Gabe Sapolsky's seminar as well. Man, there's just a lot going on. And of course, again, No Escape is March 8th, which is coming up right around the corner in about 2 weeks. And final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, you know, come support, man. You know, it's really amazing how great it's been. You know, all the people that came out to Valentine's Day Massacre, you know, it's always hit or miss, you know, in the past with the FSW arena shows. And knowing we got some big things happening, it was great to see, you know, Future Shock 2 weeks before that was packed. And, yep, you know, we followed up with another, you know, great event at the FSW arena. And it's like, man, we're hitting on all cylinders. We're trying to bring the best shows, best matches to all the fans out here. We got Cross, you know, he's locked in for us for a couple of big shows. Right now we got six. It looks like we're going to have six shows just at the HyperX. We got three on Thursday. Delgado Promotions, they're going to be doing a Lucha show. We're going to be doing the ID show. And then Title Match Network, who we've been working with, they're going to be doing an all-women show the Thursday night. Friday, we got Mecca. Saturday, we got Natural Born Killers. and we're looking to lock in Spark Joshi, who I got in at the Silverton last year. They're going to be doing a noon Sunday show. They haven't signed the paperwork, but they've agreed to the deal to be at the HyperX on that Sunday at noon. So, you know, and there's plenty of stuff that's also going on at the arena. So, you know, so we're easily surpassing the amount of events that we did last year.
Yeah.
We're at about 15 or 16 right now.
Yeah, that's crazy. And, you know, again, it's full steam ahead and, you know, no looking back. So it's exciting. And man, who would have thought how quick time actually flies? Because here we are mid-February. It's like, man, this is right around the corner.
Yeah. And it's like, before you know it, it's going to be like, oh man, that was a long weekend. You know, I remember last year, WrestleMania was finally over. It was taking that breather. It's like, it's even like all the little shit, like, oh, I got to make sure I get the porta potty. You know what I mean? It's like, because there's going to be so many people there. And now I'm going to have to be in two places at one time in reality. You know, be bouncing back and forth. You know, I can't just stay at the HyperX as cool as it would be, because we got to make sure there's no issues. And we're also had to get a third ring. That way we are able to provide it for the collective. So we're there in spirit and in ring. So, you know, it'll be our ring that'll be there.
And shout out, since you said that, that triggered a big congratulations on a person who is currently at the WWE tryouts in Fallon Gray.
Yeah, you know, she's working very hard, you know. I wished she would have got the tryout, say, 6 months from now, because she's still, you know, you want to be at your best, and but you got to take advantage of every opportunity that you get, obviously. And you know, she's going to be there, but there's a lot of women there with a lot more experience. So you know, hopefully she has a good showing. But again, if anybody outworks her, that's going to be tough for me to believe, because you know, she moved here, made the decision because she wasn't really getting the training that she needed in Tucson, and talked to the right people, got things done, and you know, we just bought her ring that she had in her yard. You know, her parents invested in, you know, but it's kind of hard just training with yourself. You know what I mean? Right. So now she came to Vegas. So she's got free training in exchange for a good price on the ring. So, and she takes advantage of it, because we see her there usually 3-4 days a week.
Yeah, absolutely. Working
her little, notebooks. Yes.
Yep. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And until next week, happy wrestling, everybody.